I go home, I pack up my stuff, I'm fine, you know. Yeah. Whereas we're putting blood, sweat, and tears, ideas, creativity, all that to it, not to see, you know, really the fruit of our labor. And it wasn't, we weren't, you know, participation trophy kids when we grew up. We were in a, you were in our generation too. Yeah. I mean, you worked your butt off for what you got, and you weren't handed a, here's a trophy for coming in fourth place. So we didn't look for any of that in our job.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Ryan Hewitt and Matt Moll, owners of Dirt Road Cred Media. Ryan and Matt, welcome to episode 98 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Excited.
Glad you guys could both be here. You know, I appreciate you coming in and bringing me this sick hat. I gotta say, that's really neat.
We got some hats, Matt's made this past year, and we got some merch that we are starting to roll out too. So, yeah, we're really excited about it. We already got some people buying some stuff from us down at shows, and it's just really a cool experience just to be able to sell stuff that has our brand on it.
Yeah, and we're all local, right?
Born and raised.
Yep, same here. Yeah.
Cedar Crest kids. Yeah, you know, we're going to dive into all that.
We got to talk a little bit about your Cedar Crest days. I'm pretty sure I didn't get my quote in the yearbook.
What?
Yeah, I've been. This is why I'm on the podcast.
Is this why you're here?
I haven't. Shoot. I really wanted my quote in there. It didn't make it. But I don't know if that was your fault.
It might not have been my fault. Let's be honest. I mean, I was a photographer, so like.
Yeah.
I didn't decide. I didn't do the layout or nothing like that. Yeah. But okay, since you brought it up now, I got to know, what was your quote?
It was, honestly, I don't remember it, but it was a quote by a lead singer of a band that I liked. And I was just like into the band at the time, still into the band. But it was just a quote that really resonated with me. And I'm like, it didn't make it. Everybody was so happy about their quotes being made, and I didn't get it in there. And I was
I swear.
High school career was just right.
Don't hold against me.
Yeah, I mean, my whole career in high school was done at that point.
Just left a black mark.
Right.
For your whole high school career. Right. That's wild. Matt, what about you? Are you good with your book? Everything good, you know?
I think so. Yeah.
You're not here to harass me for something.
No,
I don't know.
Photo look good.
Now that we've put the, you know, past behind us.
I love it. So, you know, just for the listeners, for the new listeners, you guys are actually the first two guests of 2024. That's how long it took. The last two guest episode I had was episode 57. That was Mike Safor, Lucas Stoner from 717 Predator Control. That was last December.
Wow. So, I'm so honored.
We'll take it.
We got the double mic setup here.
That's awesome.
No pressure, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm impressed by it, though. Being a part of the video production aspect of the entire company, this is definitely impressive.
So yeah, it's a great setup.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, it's a work in progress. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, you know, like when you guys were saying you wanted to come on, I'm like, man, these guys are professionals. They got over 50,000 YouTube subscribers. They're growing. And they're going to come in here to my dungeon, you know, down in the basement.
The thing
here
is, like, that's, I mean, as much as, like, oh, these guys are, they have 50K subs, like, we're just regular dudes. Like, we started from the small, we were the small boys, too. You know, we still are small boys.
Yeah, no nothing. Just,
you know, a lot of people talk to us at shows, and a lot of people talk to us, you know, on the channel and stuff, and they just look at us as almost like small celebrities in the Jeep community, but we're just like regular dudes, just making content that we like, and it's just awesome.
That's what it's all about, right? You got to enjoy what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. So let's start this off here. Matt, let's have you go first. What was your early childhood like? What'd your parents do? You know, you got siblings. Talk about that.
Yeah. We'll break it down. You know, like I said, went to Cedar Crest in high school, but actually grew up in town. So I was right off of East Lehman Street, went to Lebanon City all the way through until middle school. So kind of got that two different upbringings, right? Growing up in the city and then growing up in the outskirts of town. So got a little bit of both. You know, parents were one. My mom worked in insurance. Dad worked in maintenance after his military career. So kind of got the good aspects from both of them. My dad was very handy. My mom was good at sales. So I kind of got the outside wrenching on the Jeeps mixed with the, you got to know how to market yourself and sell yourself. So growing up, that's what it was like. Yeah, simple mom and dad. No siblings. So I'm an only child. And no brothers or sisters to pick on, but yeah, that was growing up. Grew up in town and enjoyed the heck out of it. I'm a Lebanon person through and through, so.
Yeah. Real quick, what branch of the military was your father?
He was in the Navy first, and then he joined the National Guard and was in Desert Storm afterwards. Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, double down. He was in the very early, and then, yeah, went to both of them.
What's his first name?
Doug.
Doug, shout out to Doug. Thank you for your service. Doug.
Yeah. He's our unofficial third member of the
is
of
he?
The group.
He always has the shirt on. Trying to get him. That's Pop. Yeah, that's Dad. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we always try to get him in videos, but he's always very camera shy. Yeah.
Is he?
Uh-huh, yeah. People always go nuts when they see him on camera, though. Yeah, like, and they see him at shows, too.
Easter egg, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a hidden Easter egg. I love that. Yeah. You know, and I think that's a lot of people, though. Not just, you know, like your dad, Doug, but like getting in front of the video camera, you know, in front of video, I think is a big hurdle for people.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough for me.
I mean, I was going to say for me myself.
Matt's very natural.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too far, but yeah, when we first started, it was odd too, because you're looking into that little lens versus me and you looking in eye to eye, but then you've got to translate it like we are talking, because the audience at home is watching it like I'm talking to them. So
yeah,
it's a weird transition. It took a long time to... I mean, it didn't take a long time, but
I'd say it took him like 2 weeks. Yeah. He was okay. He was sold. Years like, ago. Wow. Yeah, sold. Years this ago. Was years ago. We'll get into that, but
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lebanon to Cedar Crest, no problems, you know, everything's good.
I mean, it was a big transitional period. It was from like elementary school to middle school. So you lost all your friends from elementary school, but I still knew them all.
Yeah.
And then gained a whole new group. So that was an interesting transition, I would say. You know, making a jump like that was definitely huge for me, especially as a kid. But, you know, you make it through. You got a lot of good friends and stuff, and I'm still great friends with them to this day. But, yeah, it was weird to see both sides of the culture, I would say. You know, I grew up in town versus out in the outskirts. Two different Lebanons, you know, when you bring it into it. But I'm kind of familiar with both of them, so I enjoy both parts.
Okay. In high school, so were you doing, like, audio-video stuff like you are now, or were you not even aware of that?
Nothing like that. No, did a little bit of sports, lacrosse, football, stuff like that, tinkered around in, and then kind of found my passion like sophomore year into either wrenching on Jeeps, working on vehicles, just having friends and buddies that had that same similar hobbies. But no, nothing audio, nothing video. To be quite honest, I didn't even think I'd ever go on camera, you know?
Yeah.
So here we are, you know,
it's 10 years later. Very unique skill set that you have. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ryan, let's get your background. What was it like growing
background
up?
Background story. Well, I was a child of divorce.
Dun-dun-dun.
But no, I was very close with both my mom and my dad. My mom was in insurance. My dad was actually bartending around. He had a bunch of different jobs that he was doing. I worked part-time at a brewery, so I get a little bit of that from him.
Oh, there you go.
But my mom, yeah.
What brewery?
Trogues Brewery there in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Shout out Trogues.
Yeah, it's just my fun job, you know what I mean? Good people there, good beer. But yeah, I get that side from my dad, but for the, I would say I got a lot of the creative side from just being around my mom, and she always had a bubbly personality, and I think I kind of got some of that from her. But growing up, yeah, I was just an only child, and I would say a lot of my creativity came out of that.
Okay.
You kind of have to make your own entertainment for a while.
For sure.
Whether it's setting up the stuffed animals in the living room and conducting them like an orchestra. That was kind of my way of being creative as a young boy.
Up until like senior year.
And then senior year came around. Yeah.
That's so great.
Matt,
that was awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of had to be creative growing up, and I just made myself creative by being by myself a lot of the times. But yeah, I mean, from there, I just... you grew up in northern Lebanon and made my way over to south Lebanon and kind of stayed in the Cornwall Lebanon school district and then eventually stayed in South Hills area, and that's kind of where I was at going into high school and stuff. So
okay. Mm-hmm. And same kind of question then. High school, what were you into? What'd you like to do? Obviously not yearbook, because...
Yeah, we had a lot of bad blood with yearbook. It was always like a competition, it seemed like, but I never looked at it like that.
No. See, like I said, I just, you know, press buttons and took pictures. That's all I did. So I didn't.
Well, that's what
the
they said about us video people. Oh, they just hit record, right? Yeah. That's what I did.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't me saying that. That was.
Yeah, you're right.
Gosh, yeah. No, those were the days. Anyway,
it was. I just did video production. One of my biggest, influencers, I guess, was Mr. Schwalm. He was a huge influence on my video production. He always pushed me a little further than I think some of the other people that were just kind of taking the class for. Just to have a class to take. I actually took it like kind of seriously because I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of getting into this and I really liked it. And I never really saw myself as a video guy. I was always like into art and stuff and movies, but I definitely got my footing in his class, and he definitely pushed me to kind of take it somewhere. And yeah, so it was just I didn't really do much sports. I did track and field for 1 year, and but always found myself being pretty athletic and stuff. But I would mostly focus on video production and in any way possible. Some of my earliest things I would do kind of got me into it was I actually had a YouTube channel. I don't know if Matt even knows this, but I had a YouTube channel. I had many moons ago. It was called the Epic Videos 25.
Okay.
And yeah, I had the 25 on there because I guess the Epic Videos was taken, so I had to like add the number to really differentiate
right.
it from the rest.
25.
But I would actually go out with some of my current roommates. They would come with me and shoot videos. Ben Luciotti and Zach Luciotti. Big fans of the channel, and your podcast, too.
Oh, sweet.
I just want to give them a shout-out.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
but,
that.
But... I would go out with them. We would shoot some videos. I would always kind of shoot videos based off of emotion and music that I liked. So I would kind of take the music and try to form a story around it. And that was always kind of like my passion growing up with editing and video production. And then I was like, I kind of want to take it and run with it and see what kind of career I can kind of turn turn it into. So.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
Now we're, yeah.
We're going to get into it. Now, would you say, Ryan, like if you never met Mr. Schwamm or if he wasn't one of your teachers, do you think you'd be where you are today?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I do believe that high school was my main teachings and stuff. I did go to school for video production, but I do think that my college teachings taught me of how to kind of present myself in a more corporate setting, right? In a setting where you're kind of like, you don't have a lot of control on some of the projects.
Mm-hmm.
In Schwamm's class, he gave me a lot of free rein to just let me kind of go, and that's kind of where I thrived the most, when I could kind of have my ideas kind of the forefront. So when I went to college, I did learn a lot, but it was, like I said, more towards the corporate kind of video production aspect, which I was like, I still want to find something that's a little bit more, where I'm have a little bit more control
oh,
and
yeah.
kind of run with it and do it how we please. But yeah, so went to Kutztown for 4 years then, and... Got my video production degree, and since then it's been going good, real good.
All right, that's a perfect segue. So you went to Kutztown, beautiful
yes.
campus, right?
I love Kutztown, man. I got to go back. I got to go back for a couple of bar crawls, I guess.
There you go, right?
Just see the campus
down
a
Main
little
Street
bit. Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's a beautiful place. It's like 40 minutes away. It's not too far, and kind of kept me close. Which I'm a home guy at heart, so.
Yeah.
But Kutztown was, beautiful school. Where did you go to? Where did you went to school? Where did you go?
So, my freshman year, I went to Kutztown.
Did you really?
2011 to 2012.
And then you knew I was there, and you're like, oh, I can't get out of this guy.
Pretty much. Oh, my God. He's holding that yearbook quote over my head.
You're right,
I got to
right.
get out of here.
Yeah.
I was a thrower. Shot put and discus.
Oh, okay.
I went for track.
Yeah.
You know, had a lot of fun. I'm not, people that know me, I'm not a big partier. So, it wasn't because of that, but, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if this is for me. So, and I've said this before in the podcast. Here at Color Tech, we do printing. So I thought I'll be a pre-press operator, graphic designer,
sure.
right? Well, I had to take drawing 101. And people are drawing these vases and beautiful fruit and flowers. They look so realistic on paper. I'm over here barely drawing like a stick figure. I swear to you, it was bad. Like, I barely passed that class. And I'm like, this is not
this
for
might
me.
Not be for you.
Exactly, yeah. 100%. So got out of there. And I actually just started pretty much working. Got associates here at Hack, you know, while I started working doing sales here at the family business.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like, you know, that was the rest is history kind of thing. But I had a lot of fun at Kutztown. Like, meet the people you meet at college, you know, you always have like a core group of high school friends, I feel like. But you get to college.
It's like your first, you know, independence outside of the house. Just kind of
sure.
like you're just out there just
yeah.
learning
oh,
everything.
Yeah. You're on your
people.
Own.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it definitely was. That was definitely probably my favorite part about Kutztown was just that independence, for
right?
Sure.
Well, and you can make your own successes or failures, right? You mm-hmm. can go party and drink, and your grades will tank, and you'll be out. Or you know, you can take it serious, work out, get in great shape, and you know, and study real hard. So
sure.
it's neat to see because you have so much freedom,
right?
Yeah,
right. That's
yeah.
the big part of it.
Yeah. So Matt, what was your plan after high school?
It was kind of all over the place. I'll be honest. You know, of course, a lot of exterior. You know, voices telling you what to do. You got to go to school. I was the first generation to go to college. So that was kind of driven into your head. You got to go. You got to figure out what you want to go for. I, to be honest, didn't know what I wanted to go for. Initially it was engineering. So I was mechanical engineering major. I love designing products, love welding, fab, all that stuff that comes along with Jeeps. I could not do the math at Penn State Harrisburg. That's where I went. I went to Penn State Harrisburg. I could not huff the math. I could design, I could do CAD, all that fun stuff. But the math, just couldn't do it. So I decided to change majors, and I double majored in criminology and sociology. Both of those degrees have, I don't know what they've done at this point. Sociology, I had a lot of public speaking classes,
there you go,
learning how the inner workings of the mind and all that stuff. So getting deeper into connection with people. So that really helped. Criminology, I thought I had a different outlook on what I wanted to do with that. Very interesting times, graduating in 2017 with all that was going on with law enforcement at that point. So decided to ultimately change my direction of career path and do something I was more passionate about. That's what I went to school for. But very, very interesting times in college, you know. Same thing. Didn't know what I wanted to do, and trying to figure it all out in 4 years is tricky. So.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like you hit the nail on the head, right? You know, when I was in high school, it was, you got to go to 4 years. It was, like, really pushed.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many other great jobs. You can get a two-year or just go right to work, right. You know?
And that was seen, it was a different generational standpoint, of course, you know.
Yes.
My parents' generation, looking back at their parents' generation, it was just driven into them.
Mm-hmm.
Because 80 years ago, if you had a college degree, you were an elite in Lebanon society. I mean, if you had a college degree in Lebanon 80 years ago, you were a top 10%, you know.
Yeah.
And then as that trickled down, it just kind of, it faded away a little bit, so.
It's just wild to me, like, it seemed like that was the only way, you know, it was a 4-year college degree. And I don't know if they're still pushing it now like they were, but I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of job opportunity out there. You can make some good money. You don't have to, you know, go in debt 4 years.
Not even close to it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of like fast forward a little bit. How did you two meet? So you go Kutztown, Penn State, was it Harrisburg?
Yeah, Penn State Harrisburg.
Penn State Harrisburg. Yeah. Okay, we are. Shout out to all the Penn State fans out there. Yeah, we are, baby. Here we go. So how did you two, you know, you started, did you know each other at Cedar Crest? Let's back up a little bit there.
So I knew of Matt, but I didn't know
only
Matt.
The bad things.
I didn't know Matt, no, because he was in a grade younger than me, and we never had any classes. I don't know if we did. I don't think we had any of the classes that kind of merged the other classes. I don't think we had anything together.
Okay.
Matt was obviously star running back of the football team.
No.
Okay.
So he was way out of my league as far as being friends. But...
Yeah, right. He's too cool. Right.
No, but so we started working on a company together, and we're not going to list the companies we were at, but we started a company in Harrisburg around the same time. I graduated in December. I was about 4.5 years, and you were kind of, I felt like you were a little earlier to graduate than...
I was just about to graduate.
We both got a job out of college, and I knew of him. We both were kind of starting around the same time, and you know, he came up and talked to me. He was Jeep salesman at the company, and I was starting to do some of the video editing and YouTube stuff for the company at the time. And Matt came over the one day, and you know, we talked, and we're like, yeah, I remember you from high school, and you know, we kind of just caught up a little bit, and I just kind of knew from the moment that we started talking that, like, Matt just had it. He just had the the knowledge about what we were talking, because I would even ask him questions, because I was editing some of the Jeep content, and, like, even if I had a question about a certain part or something I had to edit in the video, I'd kind of call him or go to his office just to see what he thought about it, because he had all the knowledge on Jeeps. Because he was a Jeep salesman for parts at the time. You were just a sales rep at that point.
It was like, yeah, part-time work throughout college. And it was obviously the company we worked for was like a national and global company that was doing all sorts of aftermarket and automotive parts, but they were firing up on the off-road section. So I started as like kind of a smaller position there, but obviously had a lot more of a role and just moved around. And
So it eventually... we eventually needed a Jeep host for some of the off-road content. We had one. He was more truck oriented, but we needed to get a little bit more into Jeeps and someone who kind of knew it. And I think it was either me or one of the other coworkers. We were just like, Matt, you should definitely try to come on camera and just give it a shot, because he had a Jeep at the time. He was already putting parts on it. I was like, we just should try something out and see if it works. So we had to pull some strings, and he had to come over on a lunch break to see if we could do it, because we couldn't get the go ahead from some of the other people in the business.
Yeah.
So we did it kind of when we shouldn't have been doing it.
On the low.
On the DL. And we showed it to our bosses after they were furious with us. And
we got reprimanded for it, so it was great.
They were like, yeah, this guy has it. Let's give him some more videos.
So but,
we're mad at five you, demerits. But this guy is good.
Yeah, five demerits for everybody, but we like him. Yeah. We're going to hire him.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then we worked together at that company for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Just making YouTube content for this company and making it. I think we got our channel up to like close to 70,000 subscribers. From when I started, it was around 800. So
wow,
we had a couple of years to grow it. And the funniest thing was like we were creating everything. There was no direction or anything. We just had to
get that freedom. Or
we were hired to do installs. We had to do installs on the products, but we knew that the YouTube landscape only like the algorithm needed to be more fun and more entertainment. Wise for it to grow. So Matt and I were like, we gotta have a little more fun with these videos. We gotta be less like robot-y
like
on camera.
Step one, grab hammer. You know, yeah, it can't like, be like that.
It
right?
has
you
to be
yeah, they don't wanna watch
right.
that, so.
It had to be more organic and feel right. And we kind of developed the content to get into that direction, and that's where we kind of really took off with the channel at this company. And that's kind of been the story since. And then from there we were like we're both ready for something new. So we both jumped ship and we went to another company, and we were there for about a year doing their YouTube content. We grew their YouTube channel about a year. We did about, I think, close to like 5,000 subscribers or something in a year. But we eventually, we didn't really like the direction it was going there either. And I think it was just a constant feeling of... people had control of what we were creating.
Sure.
And they didn't see the value in us just letting us run with it. And that's where we kind of just looked at each other and we're like, why don't we just do this for ourselves? Why don't we just come together and make our own channel? We started producing some content. We made the branding. Matt started up the channel, and we kind of just started rolling out some content. We asked the company we were with at first, are you okay if we do this? Like, this is just a side thing that we're having fun with. See where it goes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We surpassed their subscribers, or the ones we were producing for them, under their control in a month when we did
Holy
it.
Shit.
We surpassed them in a month. And
wow.
Let's just say they weren't very happy with that and how quick that we grew it. So, yeah, they sat us down in an office and pretty much said, well, if you want to stay here, you can either stay here and quit your channel that you just started, or you can leave.
Wow.
Wow.
An ultimatum.
Like, yeah, they
it was a, yeah, it was a pretty...
It was a rough day for us.
Pretty interesting
because
day, yeah.
Matt and I take a lot of pride
it's
in...
like your baby, right?
Right,
like
child, right.
You know? Sure, I imagine.
We take a lot of pride. We're both hardworking guys that we've been doing
tell.
It for years.
Yeah.
And you know what? We stepped out of the room after they told us to like decide or you know give us five to really talk it over between us. And we were just like, we can't give up what we're doing. Like, if it means we got to sacrifice our day job to make this happen... We kind of had to take the leap of faith. So we walked back in. We said, that's it. Sorry.
And it was all cordial.
Yeah.
You know, it was all like, hey, we got to do this. But, I mean, I think to Ryan's token, like kind of going off from those beginning years where we were working at different companies together, we always had that creative freedom until it was time for somebody else to step in and maybe throw their two cents in it because they were a VP or a senior owner or whatever. And they always thought that, well, these guys can do it. We can direct this. You know, we know how to do it. And it kind of kept doing that. Until it got to the point where, like Ryan said, we kind of looked at each other and said, why are we doing this for everyone else? You know, it's really you and I, you know, and the only thing we're limited by right now is the salary that we're provided by the time we're sitting here. So, yeah, we kind of went outside and it was almost like it felt like one of those moments where like a business owner or somebody with a really good idea, you know, Henry Ford or Musk was like outside, like if we don't do this right now, we're going to go in here, we're going to be miserable, and we're just going to sit and think about all the things that could have happened.
Right.
And, you know, the photo here, it's me and my son. He was maybe a few months old at the time.
Okay.
He was 6 months old when all this happened. So I'm walking away from a salary, a career, benefits, all that within an hour.
With a new family.
With a fresh family. And and that was because we believed in what we had.
Yeah.
You know, if we weren't 100% with it, we're going to run it and see what happens, you know?
Right.
So that's kind
of... You went all in.
Went all in.
It
yeah,
was...
Gotta,
it was It was a. It was definitely the push we needed. I think. To really.
So, yeah. No, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like to back up a little bit because I just think it's such a small world. So, you know each other in high school, go to different colleges, then you end up at the same company, but not knowing that you're both at the same company.
No, not.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just walked down the hallway. I'm like, oh it's Matt from high school.
Okay,
right.
Okay, right. So you're there. You're doing video and stuff like that. Then you leave that company. Go to a new company.
Yeah, because we were
okay.
We wanted to change.
You want to change,
and
right.
Wanted to see if we could start their channel and do it from scratch.
Right.
And it was working.
It was working.
And then from there it was...
And then you go and make your own
channel.
Yeah. And it just goes to the moon.
Yeah. We,
our own kind of had our flair to it, right? Yeah. You know, it had everything that we embodied as what we wanted to post, but there was no one to ask besides the two of us. If we thought an idea was good, we would just look at each other and be like, yeah, let's do it. You know, see what happens. There's no
meetings. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a pizza party to decide how we're going to
circle back on this. It was all that stuff.
I love the pizza party. Yeah. Well, you're your own bosses, right? You make you call the shots. And if it's positive, great. If it doesn't work out, you learn, right? You learn from it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that just blows my mind. So you go out and you're like, if we don't do this now, like, we're going to miss out.
We're going to regret it. Yeah, especially when they're giving us an ultimatum of just deleting our channel and not then stop producing content for it. And that's where we're like, that's our baby. Like, we can't just like get rid of it.
Yeah. And it was our baby at 2 months.
At 2 months.
You know,
right.
It wasn't it was at its infancy stages. And, we saw the potential and I think you got to believe in yourself sometimes more than that solid salary or that solid. I think a lot of people are in that situation because it was hard. I'll tell you what, outside it's a gut check when you're like, I'm going to go home and here's my box of trinkets from my desk and we'll figure this out, you know? So,
yeah.
It is. That's crazy. So, like, you have a 6 month right at the time.
At the time, yeah. So right around there.
What'd your wife say?
She's very supportive for all this. I mean, she's obviously known Ryan since we started working together, right? We're going to the beach together. We're going to Jeep shows together. We're friends. So, I mean, she looked at it and is like, you got to do it. You know, it's
that's awesome.
If you're not going to, you know, you have cash saved aside. You can make it work, you know. I'll figure it out. But
it's definitely very it's very hard to explain to people, one, just being in a career of YouTube as well.
Sure.
So people are just like, well, how do you make your money off there? How does that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was definitely it was even more difficult to explain to the people that we loved that we had to take this leap of faith, especially when they didn't know how it all worked, you know, how the money was made. And it was definitely a leap of faith for us. But there's no looking back.
Yeah.
This is our whole life.
This is it. All in.
All in.
I would think too, like, Lebanon County here, right? Like, somebody says they're making a living off of YouTube, like you're saying, Ryan. It's like, what do you mean you're making a living off YouTube?
Right.
Like you said, how you get paid? How does this work out? So yeah, I could see how there'd be some hurdles in explaining that and trying to get people on board. Was there anyone in your close circle, like family, real close friends, that was like, and not to drop names, but was there people that were like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Like, were there doubters, right? Were there not haters, but people that were really doubting you?
I think we've grown with a lot of haters too. I think because it is such an interesting thing and a lot of people do see me on camera as like, look at Matt now. Look at what he's doing to his Jeep. It must be nice. This, that, and the other. Like, there is definitely that maybe an animosity between some people that we used to know, but it's one of those things that, you know, we're just presenting the brand we love, the content we love, I mean, the whole lifestyle that we love. And I couldn't think of anything else that I'd rather do. But to your point with people like hard to explain to, it's almost like a deer in the headlights every time. I mean, to quote a most recent trip, we just got back from Tennessee, Smoky Mountains, at a huge show down there. And one of our vendors we work with, they're from Japan. So they flew in from Tokyo to come have dinner with us. They absolutely love working with us. And Ryan, your stepdad was there.
Yeah.
I think it just solidified how big of a presence we have when you've got three people flying in with a translator from Tokyo to come meet with us because they love our products. You know, it really is kind of like for us, it's more gratifying because in the beginning it's like, oh, YouTube must be cool. They think of Mr. Beast or they think of one of these big guys.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, that's not us. You know, we're working with brands, with local companies, with national companies. So
yeah.
My mom, when I told her that night that I left, she was like, I'm glad you did because I would never have the, the stones to do that myself.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you got to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've gotten the support from our family and
absolutely.
Friends. Yeah, for sure.
Let's take a quick sip break. Yeah. You guys are phenomenal. Holy cow.
It's the dream, right? It's the American dream.
Yeah. There you go.
I look at it.
On the American Grown Podcast.
Exactly. That's why we're on here.
That's exactly where it's from. Yeah.
Okay, so what was the first step? Like, how did you come up with the name Dirt Road Cred Media? Like, give us that whole backstory. Let's get the origin story of the media company.
So it started off by listening to a lot of Creed growing up.
Don't start.
No, the running joke is that a lot of people question, is this Dirt Road Creed?
Yeah.
No, it's Dirt Road Cred. But we run with that joke on our social media and when we see people and some of our videos too. But Matt kind of had the idea behind the name. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, no, I think the name symbolizes and embodies a lot of what we have within us, too. So, I mean, obviously it's Jeep or it's off-road based. You know, I wanted a name that was more universal. So if we did content for different vehicles, it would make sense, right? Because we're primarily automotive, off-road, lifestyle content. So if we do something with another vehicle, the name still works. The second thing is, I mean, you're around Lebanon. There's a ton of dirt roads around here. We did it in high school. We all probably sat on a dirt road or a cornfield somewhere we weren't supposed to in high school. So for us, that was something cool. But then the cred part, that was the biggest one for me. So, I mean, over 6 or 7 years, Ryan and I had been filming together. And we always, as we had that kind of that corporate overlord looking over us, there was a lot of products, a lot of things that I had to talk about on camera that I absolutely despised. It was,
really?
Here, talk about this, make it sound good, and make the audience buy it. And me as a credible person, I felt like they were taking advantage of the community that I loved, that Ryan loves. And when we started our own channel, there was never going to be any of that. You know, when we show our audience a product, an item, something that we like, it's because we bought it with our own money. We like it, even if we're sponsored. It's something that you can feel comfortable with buying. It's the credibility, the cred part of it. So I wanted people to know that it's coming from just him and I, and it's credible, you know? So that's, that was kind of and then the media side, it's more like our legal name is DRC Media LLC. You got to start an LLC, you know, that fun
stuff. We do have the company opened up to, we do video production for other companies too, if they want it for their websites, for say they just need a guy that can just explain a product. Like that's kind of the other half of the business that, you know, we tackle here and there, but I would say primarily it's the YouTube, but yeah, you know, we do have that as the media aspect to go and do whether it's commercials, stuff for people's websites or anything like that because that's kind of how that's how we learned how to do the YouTube side of it by presenting products and stuff. So,
and it's so vitally important, I think, to believe in the product you're selling. You know,
100%.
Yeah, because if you don't believe in it.
It was hard for us. I mean, there was a lot of videos and a lot of production we did for many years that, you know, I was just almost embarrassed to have it on camera. And for me as a person that spent a lot of time wrenching on vehicles, a lot of time talking to people, when you can't back up what you're saying, it felt like I wasn't being myself. Like it was a fun job. It was a dream job. But when you're not able to give your own personal takes to it, it kind of lost a little bit of that spark. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see how it would. And then people don't believe it's not as authentic because you don't really love it. You don't really care for it. You're just doing it because you're told. And, you know, obviously you had a job, you got paid and everything. So it's like, it's a fair trade. But yeah, now that you're doing something you believe in, I take it as like before this, I don't say dumb it down, but for me, I was a big Lego guy, right?
Yeah,
when I was
a
kid. Even now, I'll be honest, I like my Legos. I put a set together around it. But you know what I mean? The Lego instruction booklet, like before, that's kind of videos you were doing. Take this piece, put it here, wrench, kind of humdrum, and it's like, okay. But you did it because you had to. Now you can free flow, you can be yourself, still, you know, have it be like, okay, do this to your Jeep, add this, but it's something you truly believe in.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, you know, to put it lightly too, with Ryan and I, it's a very different career than anyone's familiar with around here, right? So,
100%.
You know, a lot of people go to their day job, you know, they're entering in, they're doing finance, doing this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, they go home, take their hat off, it's finished. With us, we're constantly put out there in front of everyone. You can search our name and see the videos and see the content. So you really got to make sure it's you on there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I was just curious, like, was there any point, was there a thought of doing something else than just going YouTube?
I mean, we talked about... I mean, we're on TikTok a little bit, but I mean, primarily YouTube, but we never... I don't think we ever really thought about branching out into other platforms. And I mean, we've talked about a podcast or something in the future, but I don't know what we would talk about as far as, I mean, there's topics in the Jeep community that we could talk about when we kind of designed the channel to maybe not be centric to Jeeps, but you know, for YouTube, when you start talking about something that hits with that audience, it's kind of hard to, when you're growing that audience that's following that specific video or topic or brand like Jeep, to then jump ship to something else that you're talking about. Like, say we decided to do trucks or Tacomas or anything. I mean, if we would just jump into another brand right now, our analytics would tank. And so we started doing a lot of Jeep stuff. Then we kind of slid in a little bit of Bronco stuff just to see what it would do, but it never really hit as much as that Jeep community did. So, and, you know, people love their... their Jeeps and what they put on it. So we were like, let's just kind of hit where we're good at. It's like our bread and butter. Let's just hit it where that works. But I do think, like, in the future, like, if we ever decided to do a podcast, because I just love listening to myself right now, talking to myself on this mic. But
you got a good voice for podcasting, right?
Yeah, I got a good voice and face for podcasts. Face for radio. Right. That's what I got myself dressed up all for this, for face for radio. Right?
Yeah, sorry. There's no full video going out. Yeah. Y'all look sharp, though, yeah.
Thank you. But, I think, there's definitely some room for that. But it was always, let's try to shoot some 10 to 15-minute videos on a topic or a part that we just want to install on our Jeep. That's kind of how we wanted to get it rolling. And then we kind of just found which stuff worked, which stuff didn't work. And, that's kind of everything we've been tackling so far.
Yeah. What I like about the name, too, is it's not, you know, dirt road Jeep or something like that.
Right.
You can talk about, like, outdoor living. You know, like, when I think of a dirt road, it's like going out, having a campfire. You're in the cornfield. You know, maybe you're doing stuff you shouldn't be. You're out, you know, you're on property you might not should be there. Like, maybe you're into hunting. Like, you guys are open for so much.
Yeah.
So much, you know,
and there's
potential.
Like, there's subcategories to being in the Jeep community. Like, we could mix in overlanding or camping because as long as there's that crossover.
Yeah,
right,
sure. Yeah.
Right. And there's definitely room in those areas as long as that goes back to Jeep.
But yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing with starting the channel is obviously we're bringing in the audience, right? So we've got now, we just surpassed 50,000 subscribers in just about 2 years.
2 years,
right?
2 years in August, I mean, yeah.
That's impressive.
But the biggest thing was bringing that audience in, getting that credibility, and then as well as all the sponsors we have. I mean, we make some really tight forged relationships that we've worked with these guys, well, since the inception of this channel. And now that we have our own, it's like really the lid was blown off and we can do all these things. So the biggest thing for us is kind of seeing what we can do with the audience base. You know, what else can we venture into? We have some of our own products. We've obviously got merch that we sell on our website, things like that.
Sick merch, by the way. Sick merch.
Yeah, we love that stuff. Yeah, it's done locally. So we love having that stuff done. But yeah, I mean, it's just it's growing it as a business. I think a lot of people think it's just the YouTube money. Like, man, these YouTubers must be balling out. YouTube's probably one of the, like, not the big, it's smaller
definitely the smaller
chunk
portion
of our monthly revenue. You've really got to have those eight legs under the table. That way, if one falls out, you still got the rest of them. So that's the business side of it, which a lot of people
don't really see. Yeah.
So what does it take to run a successful YouTube channel?
So the biggest thing is hitting the algorithm and being consistent with it. So posting twice a week, that's always been kind of our goal, is to post at least 2 videos a week, split it up into the week. And as long as you keep that going, YouTube favors you because you're constantly producing content, which means more ads go on the videos, which helps YouTube because they're taking a portion of revenue that you make. So it's just always been a goal of ours to keep the consistency. You got to keep everything going, which can also be it can also be the downside of it too, because you have to constantly produce stuff. And you can set breaks for yourself, but you have to have something in the queue or something to go live that week so that you're not falling behind. Now, there are some weeks that we might be behind or push a video a little further off, but we look at everything. We look at if football's on Sunday, which is a prime posting date for us, but we know that the audiences are watching football on TV. They're not going to be on YouTube watching, so we look at that stuff. So I moved a video maybe to a Monday or Tuesday after, you know, week one. You know what I mean? Just so that we kind of get the max viewer. And that's the biggest thing. It's hitting your audience at the right time. We can see all that on the back end, like when your audience is online, when they're starting to watch the videos, and you got to kind of like hit that. And that's like the biggest thing with YouTube is just being consistent.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I've noticed when I do posts on Instagram or Facebook for the American Grown Podcast, like photos and things like that, I found that Sundays from like 5 to 8, it actually does pretty well because people are during the football season, because people are watching, but they're also on their phone scrolling through social media. Sure. Yeah.
Right.
But I could see how YouTube, that's a no-go, because
you need 10 minutes to watch a video, and it's harder to do that maybe like during halftime. But yeah, maybe social media is definitely a good spot during a Sunday night for sure to post something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's take a quick sip break. Yeah. It amazes me how you two, again, I mean, really killing it. So in 2 years, that's an average of roughly 25 to 30,000 subscribers, you know, each year on YouTube, roughly. And like, you love what you're doing. You're obviously got great partnerships, sponsors, you know what I mean? So like, hats off to you guys, because this is pretty amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm very impressed. So one of the, Ryan, I think you filled out the form. One of the things you had said, and I really liked it, was living a corporate America free lifestyle for the rest of my career. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have just, I think maybe in college, maybe even high school, I just like, I hated being on somebody else's time. And it just has always been in my, maybe it's because I was an only child and I always had that freedom growing up to kind of like do whatever. Aside from school, you know, I can kind of go out and do whatever I wanted. But I think when you then come out of college, your first initial thought is, I'm going to get a job and it's going to be my one and only job and I'm going to work my way up in the career and I'm going to make it big there and it's just going to become, you know, like, because that's kind of how we always looked at our parents and they worked as hard as they possibly could to get to that point and work their way up their companies. But I think Matt and I both realized when we did start working for corporate America and working that 9 to 5 is that the landscape is a lot different than it was even 20, 30 years ago. You didn't work your way up as hard. And I think if we did maybe work ourselves, if we worked our way up a little bit further in our companies, like we anticipated coming out of college, I think it'd be a different story. But I think we both realized that, you know, go working a 9 to 5 job and putting our blood, sweat, and tears into our craft and our work and our passion for it, and it wasn't being received as well. It was making them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It was making them a ton of money because it was successful.
Off of, you know, our likeness. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That, and it didn't translate to how we were being paid or our time being at work for as much as we were being there. And I think COVID was another big thing that really came in, and it was like, we didn't necessarily, because we did work from home and did like a hybrid schedule when we were working. So we were seeing the lifestyle of, we don't necessarily need to be at work for 40 hours and produce what we're producing and make them a lot of money. And I think that kind of like was an introductory into that kind of lifestyle of not working as much as, now we were filling gaps with other stuff that we were doing. I think you were doing some stuff on the side and I was doing some weddings and other stuff to kind of fill the gaps. But I just think we both got sick of that feeling like we had to be at some place making somebody else their money. And I just think that quote I just wrote in there was just, that's just how I felt. I wanted the schedule to be a little more free. Like, we just have to put out 2 videos now a week. So how do we do that and yet still run a business and then find time to, you know, just fill the gaps in the week with stuff maybe we like or more family time or even a part-time job to just have some fun. You know, it's a little bit of everything. It's really learning. I think that's the biggest thing right now. We're both learning how to still produce and continue working and doing as much as we can during the week for the channel and the company. But we also are trying to balance a lifestyle that we've never imagined before because we were working that 9 to 5 consistently. And it's something I wish a lot of people could figure out too, because I see it in so many people in my life that have to work that lifestyle. And I really wish they could see, you know, the freedom aspect of it. And we're still working hard. It's not like we don't work hard. We work our asses off, but we do definitely get the luxury of doing it for ourselves and the freedom of being able to produce what we love and, you know, having some of our time back.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what is the feeling like when you realized, hey, we can do this for ourselves instead of making a corporation money, we can start making ourselves money. What's that feeling like?
I think the biggest feeling perhaps on my side was how are we going to make money, right? You know, because YouTube pays you, when you're starting, your ad revenue is pennies. I mean, it might be $100 a month. It's not much at all.
You're not living off that, yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it was a hobby, you know, you got to figure some things out. But I think the biggest thing for both of us and really for us is like, we're business savvy. You know, we've got a lot of relationships, a lot of contacts, and we were very big on trying new things. If they fail, oh well, but if they succeed, hey, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got a lot of different businesses built into our media company that aren't necessarily media related, you know? Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of things like that. But I mean, in all reality, it was just consistency, I would say. That's the biggest thing. Ryan always pounds at home when we talk to a lot of new YouTubers. People come up to us at shows, shake our hands, take pictures. And, you know, there was one clip where that kid came up and he was filming and I was like, just keep on doing it, man. And he like posted it on Instagram and I was like,
yeah.
Ryan said
it's the truest thing.
It was the most natural thing because I was like, I didn't even know I was being filmed, and I'm just keep doing it. You know, if you have a goal or a vision for what your life you want it to look like, it's hard to take that initial step. Like I said, I looked at that photo and stuff when I cleared it off my desk and I was like,
just keep working on it.
What am I doing? You know, but in your head, that's what you're thinking, right? There is a safety. There's a, you know, sometimes they call it the golden chain, right? The golden handcuff to your job. But with ours, I will say it was a bit different being in the creative realm to have that much energy and creativity go into it, especially me, my face is on it.
Yeah.
So I'm now the face of this company who, and the back end doesn't really have my back, respect me as much. So that's more interesting than being like, if I was a financial rep at a bank, you know, okay, yeah, I'm not as happy here, but I go home, I pack up my stuff, I'm fine, you know? Whereas we're putting blood, sweat, and tears, ideas, creativity, all that to it, not to see, you know, really the fruit of our labor. And it wasn't, we weren't, you know, participation trophy kids and we grew up, you were in our generation too. I mean, you worked your butt off for what you got and you weren't handed a, here's a trophy for coming in fourth place. So we didn't look for any of that in our jobs. It was just sometimes, hey, attaboy, once in a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Right. You want to be,
we made the company $1 million this year. Oh, great.
Here's a
pizza party, right?
Pick two toppings, toppings and 2 2-liters, and but not more than two toppings, okay?
Wow. Yeah, and that's a euphemism.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
We always joke so badly about that.
Yeah, that's it. It's like your work, and that's just how it seems like life is, right? Like previous generations, it's like you go to work, you move up the ladder, like you're saying, Ryan, and that's just your life, and then retire and you die,
right?
You know? But you guys have broken those bonds, broken those chains, like you said, the golden handcuff, and you know, you're out there doing it.
Yeah. I think the internet has been a big help. The internet has been a big help for our generation.
As much as Ryan and I both hate the internet, at points hate social media, you know, we wish we were born in a different generation that didn't have that. We're kind of using the tools that we have at hand.
You got to use the tools.
You know, if we were here 60 years ago, we'd be doing something else, you know, but I mean, right now you've got to use the tools at hand, and how are you going to reach that many people? It's like putting a merchandiser ad, but globally, right? Yeah. You know, that's what we look at. So,
how do you put out 2 videos a week? Like, what is the recording schedule like? How many hours does it take to get, you know, 2 15-minute videos done? Give us a little bit of background on that.
I think my strongest skill set when it comes to video production is how efficient I can edit something. And I think I learned that from previous jobs. And even in Schwalm's class, we had to produce stuff in a very quick time span. So I've always just been very good at, like, pumping out videos and kind of having the ideas in my head. I never really had to sit down and storyboard something or plan something out. It was mostly like if Matt would come up with the idea, like, here's what I'd like to shoot a part on the Jeep. I would like, okay, how, if I was, say, not a Jeep tech guy or a Jeep mechanic guy, how would a normal Jeep person reciprocate this or take it in? And I would kind of take what Matt's idea was and like try to look at the marketing aspect of it and just like, all right, let's kind of hit it here with this title or maybe a little bit more eye-catchy here. And then we would shoot the video. We kind of have a format. We've kind of always ran the same format, like almost like a 5-paragraph essay. We'll do like an intro. We'll do like the 3 key points in it, and then we'll finish with like the finale. And that's kind of always been how we've kind of done the videos. So we've kind of had that format. Sometimes we'll switch it up whether I'm feeling like real creative and I want to like dip my toes into something a little different, but which happens, and you kind of have to challenge yourself. But that's kind of always been our format. So like we have a very, like, if we know, sometimes we'll shoot a couple videos in a week, sometimes we'll shoot one in a week, and it just depends on how many we have in the queue and how many we have already prepared. Sometimes we're down at shows and we'll shoot multiple videos down there. So that kind of delays some of our work and our shooting schedule. But usually we'll shoot like a Monday or a Tuesday, get a video ready for Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, kind of rinse, repeat. We'll shoot something Thursday, or we'll shoot 2 on Monday and trying to get them both knocked out for the week. But, and then sometimes random stuff pops up. We'll have our biggest segment on our channel is Jeep News. So we'll talk about the latest and greatest in the Jeep News. And if that comes out, that's some of the quickest stuff I can turn around. I can turn that around within an hour. Just because we have it, it's just Matt sitting in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And then we just get his whole take. Matt is a one take wonder. He will sit down, and that's the beauty about our partnership, that he can just spit it out in one take and then it's done. And then I just kind of throw it in the timeline. I color correct it all one take and then kind of chop where I don't want certain things. And then I'll just throw a little bit of B-roll or clips over it to kind of cover up the shot. Cause we just have an archive of footage from the last 2 years of Jeeps and Jeep shows. So we have all of that, archived footage to throw over any of the content we need to talk about. And I'll grab stuff from Google and other stuff like that. But stuff like that can be turned around within an hour or two, just because it's timely, it's relevant. You almost have to edit it like a news story and get it out as quick as possible.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, sometimes it's quick, and then other times I'm spending, a couple weeks on one video that I'm really proud of, and that's the challenge too, because I want to create something that's really cool, and sometimes it doesn't hit. Sometimes it doesn't hit as much.
Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Sometimes it doesn't hit as much as the 1 hour, and it's like
that's the worst.
That's when it's like, that's where you have to look at it from a business aspect. It's like, does it make sense for us to go do this kind of content if it's going to take this amount of time, this amount of resources, this amount of money to produce, when we could just produce a news video or something smaller or something quicker that makes us X amount of dollars. Like it's crazy.
I want to go on that with the cred part. That's what's weird too, is because obviously Jeeping is off-roading. It's the lifestyle on that. So we try and show the credibility of knowing how to work on vehicles, knowing how to off-road them.
Oh yeah.
And I've been doing it for years, but showing the off-road lifestyle takes 4 cameras, 8 hours driving up to the off-road park, a lot involved. Right. And that content is what a chunk of the audience wants, but some of the news content, the vast majority likes to see it. There's something in there for everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird balance, but the content Ryan spends 2 weeks on and then doesn't hit it's hard. It's like painting something for 2 weeks for nobody to see it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild though? Cause you spend so much time and you invest in this one post, this one video,
I try not to let it get to me too much, but I do take a lot of pride. We both do.
You can tell you both do. Yeah, for sure. So. Just the way you present yourselves and everything. So, I mean, I can see how that would that sucks. Cause you spend all this time but I found that you post something just a photo, right? Mm-hmm. On Instagram. I'll use that as a reference, and you don't do any editing to it. You just post it and boom, it'll get 150 or whatever likes. And then the one you've tweaked and you edited and you cropped and this and that, and it gets maybe 20, and it's what's going on here?
Yeah. Like we posted up a short on Instagram and it took me less than an hour to make. And I think it got over a million.
It's almost at a million views.
Views on Instagram.
Every week we see how many people liked it and followed us from it, and it's insanity that it's still growing from 5-6 months later to be 25 people like this, 4 people followed you from this reel, and it's we'll spend some other time on, we do viral stuff, you do the meme reels, things like that stuff. Instagram's it's definitely a different landscape than YouTube for sure.
And then, all those, some videos don't hit. We do see the back end, the analytics of some of the videos, and we do still gain subscribers from individual videos. Absolutely. So I look at it as if this didn't gain us any subscribers, if we lost subscribers, that's when we take a look at it and be like, that's probably not something we should do in the future. But we usually see some sort of growth in everything we put out. And, sometimes it's not even the audience. Sometimes it's YouTube wanting to push certain things and what's going to hit at the right time. And there's just a whole other boat of
the algorithm. Things,
the algorithm.
Or it's even sometimes it's the right company viewing the video. You know, we've done content that was completely different, out there kind of thing, and we've had large companies reach out to us because of the content. So, we might not think it did the best, it didn't get as many views, but somebody, the right person, saw it. Mm-hmm. And that's big with us, our professionalism. You never know who is watching your content. It could be grandma, grandpa, or it could be the VP of a company. So Ryan wants it to be, it's family friendly. You can sit down, you can watch it, you can enjoy it. It's not, you don't want to sit there and bash and run around with a phone screaming and stuff. We make professional. It's professional content.
For sometimes that's all it takes is one, one person, one executive or one higher up or whatever. One person that has some pull, and then boom, you gain subscribers or you get a bunch of orders coming in. So some of the events you go to, I want to talk about that. And it just amazes me. So it's just you two, right?
And our unofficial third member.
And Dad.
And Doug. Third member. Shout out to Doug. Yep. If you're still listening, Doug, thank
Doug's
you. Appreciate
been listening
it.
In. Yeah, he's already listening
he's
somehow.
He's already hearing it.
He's already hearing it. Yeah. But it just blows my mind because you just mentioned, Matt, you have sometimes 4 different camera angles going and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that
was. Sometimes we got to I had to ask my buddy, good buddy Bob. He'll probably be listening to this podcast.
Shout out to Bob.
Bob's been, he's a hero. He's a legend. He's actually Bob the legend in my phone. I actually met him at Trogues and I was like, hey, he's always kind of up for adventure and something new and exciting. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, do you just want to come and join us at the off-road park in a couple weeks and just kind of hold the cell phone up and just get another angle? Because the toughest part about it is when we take both of our Jeeps out wheeling, I can't be the cameraman. I can't, if I'm wheeling, I'm not the cameraman. Matt's got to spot me. So when I'm driving my Jeep and he's spotting me so I don't destroy my Jeep.
Yes, yes.
We need somebody else to help out.
It almost turns into who's the cameraman and then who's the host, because my full energy is making sure Ryan makes it off the trail and doesn't roll his Jeep or XYZ. And, you know, a lot of people see that, and we've gotten, going on the internet, you're putting yourself out there. Yeah. You know, some of the comments we read they're atrocious. You know, sometimes YouTube flags them and they'll pull them off. But
What was one of the, without getting too crazy?
Oh my goodness.
We're constantly bashed because we don't wheel enough.
Yeah.
We don't go out wheeling. We don't
wheel enough. What is wheeling for?
Just going out and taking our Jeeps out that are built up to go do this and going and using them, which we do outside of filming. But like I said, it takes a team to go do that. But yeah, the harshest ones are definitely the ones just bashing Matt and his credibility and his knowledge, because this dude's been wrenching since he's like yay big. He was like small.
He was in diapers, probably.
It was working on a CJ7 with my dad, a Golden Eagle in the garage, as old as I could hold a wrench. And you know, we've done anything from engine swaps to full on long, anything you can imagine on these vehicles, especially me. And you know, when it hits you at that level, when someone's coming at you, attacking you for, one, pursuing your dreams, two, for showing it off and doing it in a good light. Now, I'm not coming after anybody. I'm just showing you how to do it.
Yeah.
It gets to you. You know, I'll be real to you. Having your face and having your likeness on the internet, and then to get it, you know, we put 2 hours, 20 hours, 200 hours into this video, and then have one person, this guy's an a-hole. This guy doesn't know what the F he's talking about. And it's awful, you know, and you're thinking, would you say that to me in person? Because when we go to shows, people, like last show, we had a lineup for our meet and greet that were coming up to meet with us and take photos, and it's like they're the best people you ever meet. So those folks that are sitting there on the internet typing that stuff, you'll never see them anywhere.
No,
they just want to do it there. They're sitting in their basement, they're doing whatever. And you know, that's the one thing, you got to have some thick skin to do it.
The keyboard warriors.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Keyboard warriors.
Well, what it is, they're not happy with their life. You know,
that's exactly it.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people look at the YouTube scene as, and there are some bad eggs when it comes to YouTubers. Like, they're just, obviously they're there to just make money very quick, doing stupid stuff, whether it's pranks or whatever. But, you know, we're trying to make a living too. But you know, we're doing it in a way that we think is very professional, and a way that we'd like to be looked at as, you know, from other companies, but in a professional light. So, like, we aren't going to be kind of crazy and wild sometimes. We're not going to go out and wheel our Jeeps to destroy them, because we got to look at money, too. And it's a whole business aspect. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that, where they're seeing some of these other YouTubers just, like, go do pranks and then make millions off of that video. So,
yeah,
I think there is an image to the YouTube landscape. And I think that's why it's so difficult to explain people what we do sometimes.
Because we have the media company. That's for a lot of people that ask. It's the media company.
It's the media company.
In reality, you know, we're YouTubers, but the end of it, there is a business. You know, folks, oh, must be nice to get that. Must be nice to have a sponsorship. But Ryan's got $20,000 in camera gear and equipment to edit on. You know, none of it's free. You know, I'm looking at this equipment here. None of it's free to do. You know,
It's somebody that believes in you, right? That's pretty much what it comes down to. They believe in what you're doing and they want to support you. You know, that brings up a great point. I wanted to ask, like, equipment. What are you running with? Sony, Nikon, Canon?
Sony. I've been a Sony boy since our first job that we were at.
Mirrorless, right? They're all mirrorless.
Yeah, all mirrorless. Yeah. We were running a very small mirrorless camera, and it was kind of my first introduction to it. I was always a Canon guy growing up. And I run an A7. I was running an A7 III for a while, and I was actually using that camera for weddings throughout my careers working for other people. So I did weddings on the sides, and I used that camera, and I always was a big fan of the way the slow-mo looked on it. And so I kind of put that into our touch and our flair of Dirt Road Cred, where we just get a lot of slow-mo shots with these 4K cameras.
Nice.
And we recently just got an A7 IV, which, that's a beautiful camera. I love it. It's such a good look, and the image is so crisp and great on that. But we use a Sony A7 IV, and then we just use some Go Rode mics.
You can kind of just
attach to the hat, attach to the collar, and it does the job. It blocks the wind very well, and it's just plug and play then, and it all works.
Nice. Yeah. Any GoPros or drones?
We have a GoPro. I have a drone. I'd like to upgrade our drone soon.
I think
we could get some better high quality stuff in the future, but those are all I think the biggest thing right now is our, like, just the sound deadening you put in the studio.
Yep.
Yeah, so we work out of a shop, and when we were starting to build the shop and stuff, it's just very echoey in there, and we're like, there's just no way I couldn't be, I look at it, the quality, and I'm like, if we're representing a product, we're representing somebody's company and product, it has to be good quality sound. It's got to be good quality, you know, in every aspect, because, you know, they might use that for something. They might want to sponsor us, you know, like, it has to be up to the standard that I prefer. And so the biggest thing right now is the sound deadening that we got. I feel like as far as expenses go for
and the shop too. And yeah, we have it's a 40 by 30 shop that we built. Had some help building it and that, but it's basically a studio in all intents and purposes. We've got our tools, our welders, all that out there. But it's kind of neat to have our own spot to do it that has heat and air conditioning. How privileged nice. We are to have that. Because yeah. We did many an install out in the middle of my driveway, 20 degrees in the middle of winter.
That was like the first year.
First year. It's not just cakes and rainbows and unicorns. We were out there busting my knuckles. There was blood all over on camera. You can see it. And that's what it turned into, you know. But we've got our shop. We got a whole backdrop, a pallet board wall with all of our signs and posters on. So it's very legit. It's professional. Yeah. It's something that we can get the content out of, but it's also just such a nice place. It's a controlled environment.
And if we do have, you know, companies or people that follow us that want to stop by and see the shop, that more than welcome to, because it's cool to show it off, and it's still a work in progress. We're going to still add some stuff to the back wall that we have. It's kind of like our backdrop for our videos and stuff.
It's almost like this, that you got the flag and everything. Yeah. It's awesome to have that. The mementos, the places you've been.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of our followers are law enforcement, so they'll send the patches in and stuff. We've got all those on the wall all over the country.
Yeah. Like challenge coins?
We've got some coins. San Diego patrol coins. We've got all sorts of stuff. We've got. It sometimes surprises us how far our audience base is. I mean, when we look at demographics, we've got, it's like 70 some countries we can, I mean, all over the world. So, you know, it's neat.
No, it's very cool.
Where's like the furthest or like the most craziest, like a place you'd never think somebody would be listening or watching. Sorry, watching in this case. Yeah.
We have a couple Australian people.
Australia's big.
So we have a section on our videos. We call it the viewer rigs. So we make people we tell people to send us pictures of their vehicles. Yeah. Send us a picture of your Jeep. Send us what are you driving right now, and then we can put that at the segment like closer to towards the end of the video after the content. You know, here's your viewer rig spotlight. So it kind of gives back to the people that are fans of the channel.
Is that your idea?
That was Ryan's idea. Ryan. He spearheaded that idea.
We just got one sent from Australia, which they have a different kind of layout on the Jeeps because
the road, it's all different.
So it's very cool to see like the vehicle in another country and how it's different from America, but the fact that it's reaching that far is so cool.
It's wild. Yeah.
I think Japan, you know, we brought up Japan like that. We work with a company over there. They flew over, and when they came over, they had our dirt road cred hats on.
Yeah. No way.
Because their partner in California ordered three, shipped them over to Japan, and they all wore them. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy sometimes how far that reach is. You know, I get a lot of wives that approach us at shows and say, I don't know who that face is, but I know the voice from the other room because my husband watches you on YouTube. And it's so funny because it's happened dozens of times. It's so funny. It's constant. Yeah.
So when you go to shows, what's like one of the biggest shows? Like I know there's, I think it's every year, SHOT Show out in Vegas for like guns and hunters, things like that. So what's like
Jeep show? Like what's the Jeep show? So we have like multiple shows in the season. The season's like the summertime, April to September.
Sure.
We start with Daytona. Daytona's like our main one in the early stages of the summer. Late April. Daytona Jeep Beach. It's in the racetrack, the Daytona 500 racetrack.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like right in the center, and they have a bunch of vendors in there, and Jeeps from all over come to this show, and it's just a bunch of Jeeps on the beach. That's what it is. That's what's the coolest part. You could drive your Jeep on the beach, you know, park it out, and then people make off-road courses in the sand, and like it's such a cool experience, it's a very cool vibe in the Jeep community.
When we say a few Jeeps, I mean there was probably 75 to 100,000 last year. It's probably one of the biggest events that we go to, and you know, a few vendors, probably about 300 in the infield. I mean, it is insanity. They had who do they have? Craig Morgan. You know Craig Morgan, the singer?
Yeah.
He played down there at the concert, a couple at Randy Houser, a couple guys. So
yeah.
Big names, wow. You know, playing at a concert down there. So we actually had media passes, I'll sidebar.
Yeah, we had some media passes.
And I'm a huge country guy, so we had dinner with our Japanese friends and then went to the concert. We had media passes.
Okay.
You had to buy special tickets for this concert. And I went up with me, Ryan, and my dad, just us three. The rest of the family's at home. My dad does not look anywhere close to a media guy. I'll be honest. Dad's a retired vet. He walks around. He's got his hat on.
He's got the hat. So
he's got the hat. But we have our media pass, and I flash it to this dude in like the pit, and he's like, "Oh, their media let him through."
Whoa!
And they let us right up to the stage.
Yeah,
and
we were past. We were even past like the general
VIP. But just sometimes that media pass. So if you're ever somewhere, just throw a media pass up, and you're good.
But other than that show, we actually tried a new one this year. We went down to New Jersey Jeep. Beach.
Invasion.
It was a rainier year, so it probably wasn't as busy as we anticipated, or like from what we saw, it could have been busier. And I think usually that show will get bigger as the years go on. It's slowly growing, but that's a cool one on the beach as well, in Wildwood, New Jersey. Yep. That we really, I had a great time down there. And then the biggest show, and it's kind of like our finale for the summer, is the Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Which we just got back from a couple weeks ago.
About 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
And that one's so cool because we ride with the top and doors off the entire week. You're just out in the wildlife nature, but then like you come out of the mountains and you're like almost like in an Ocean City, Maryland beach town. Like
strip.
There's tourist attractions. Yeah, in the strip, just a touristy kind of very interesting place. Yeah. And it's just such a cool spot because you go back in the mountains and there's bears every 10 minutes.
Jeez.
Yeah, at our house, we probably had about 20 bears visit our Airbnb. They were trying to get in his Jeep. They were trying to get everywhere. So it was cool the first day. We had the family there. I got my two boys, the wife, all of our parents and stuff. So the first day was cool to see bears. By the second and third, you were worn out of it because they're pretty big close. And they can mess with you if they want to.
That's
so
trying to get in the Jeeps and everything.
But what a cool show.
But that show's huge.
Insane. That probably doubles the size of Daytona. I mean, just double the sheer amount of people.
It's more centralized. Florida's a little more south, so like this is just like a good spot, but for all these states.
Central of the country. Yeah, Tennessee is an easy
7-8 hour drive from here, so it's not too bad.
Not bad, not bad, right? Okay. So when you go to these shows, you know, like the one in Pigeon Forge, what is your goal? Like, what are you going to get out of it?
So, we get a ton out of it. First and foremost is the content. You know, you never know what you're going to see. You never know who's going to be there. Biggest thing, so I'll give up my biggest things and what I get out of it, and then Ryan will give his. I either do some kind of PR and relationships with our current vendors, look for new ones too that we work with, that we talk to, solidify a lot of that, meet a ton of fans. I mean, we had a line for a meet and greet this year, which was crazy for us.
We didn't expect
it. You know, you're talking 30, 40 people in line to have take pictures.
What's the age? Like young teens up to?
All ages.
Yeah,
which I can imagine. All ages.
I can imagine.
All walks of life. And it's so cool.
And that's the biggest thing I want to hit on too. It's every walk of life too. You never know who's walking up to you because they all enjoy our content. And it's kind of neat because if you're in the Jeep lifestyle, it's more of that freedom. Take the top off, the outdoorsy, that kind of style.
Yes.
And that kind of circumnavigates all these, you know, an ethnicity, a race, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, anyone can come up to us and, you know, I've got all sorts. We've got fans from every walk of life, which is super cool. But yeah, my biggest thing is like doing the meet and greets. We like to hang out with our vendors and then I'm trying to search for new products. I'm always like, what's the latest and greatest? Who can I talk to? I'm always talking and, you know, then Ryan, we got Ryan's side.
So my top priority at shows is we usually do it. We do a video at each show. It's called The Best Jeeps at whatever show we're at. And that really hits well because this year we did something special with we got ducks. Ducks are a big thing in the Jeep community, and you duck Jeeps. You put ducks on Jeeps. They put it in their Jeep, and it just sits there.
That's so why do you duck a Jeep? Why would you duck a Jeep?
It just kind of started as a fashion thing, like a couple years ago. There was a Allison, her name was. She started the ducking. It was a trend that just started. You would put a duck on a Jeep that you liked, and people would get it, and they would be like, "Oh, that's kind of cool. I'll keep it in my Jeep."
It was a way for you to say nice Jeep without waiting for the person to come out.
While it's
a
duck, I don't know, but you can get many different colored ducks, and it just kind of worked.
Kids' bath toys, so they're pretty cheap, so you can buy them by 1,000 at a time.
So, so what we did this year is we had, I think we had like 500 plus ducks that we had that we ordered, and we put business cards on it that pretty much said, "We love your Jeep." And it also said, "Check out our YouTube channel. You might have made the best Jeeps at Smoky Mountain." So
brilliant.
So we would go around, we'd put them on the Jeeps, and I would get Jeeps that we liked. So what I do for the best Jeeps is I'll have Matt come with me sometimes. He'll come around, he'll tell he'll see a GP likes and he'll start explaining and talking about and why he likes it and why he likes the way it's built up and all that stuff. And then we'll get segments of that, and then I'll go around and just get a bunch of other Jeeps just for some B-roll shots, and then I'll just make a video of that entire segment of the best Jeeps, what's going on at the show, and just put a whole bunch of people's Jeeps in there, and then they can go watch the video. Oh, they saw their Jeep in a video that got like 20,000-30,000 views, and it's like, that's really cool. It's almost like giving back to the people that come to the show, come hang out, because that's kind of one thing we always try to push is get to a Jeep show. If you got a Jeep, try to get to a Jeep show, and I'm going to try and segue it into, we kind of want to start our own Jeep show. We'd like to have one here at the fairgrounds and maybe have one in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of our, you know, when you talk about business, it's a different segue, but we've gone to shows. I've been going since as small as I can remember going to Jeep shows, right? So as we started our own companies, how can we segue into things? So we've got a lot of conversations out. We ask our audience what they'd like to see, what time of the year. Fall's the biggest one. Everyone wants to not sweat their butt off walking around in the middle of summer. So I think next year will be the first, you know, 2025 Dirt Road Cred show, and we're trying to work it out with the Expo Center to have a show there. How neat is that, though, to get our, like, global and our national audience to come to Lebanon?
Lebanon.
Right?
Little old Lebanon.
Little old Lebanon Comet.
So when you see, thousands of Jeeps here next September, you're like, oh, these guys.
I'm
going
to be there.
Yeah, because I'm going to get a podcast.
Yeah. Well, we could do a live podcast. I've been waiting for somebody to bring that up so we could try it.
That would be cool.
I'm down to it.
That'd be so cool.
That would be
Guys, that's amazing. So, like, you're pursuing this. Like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
For next year.
This is something we want to do.
The notebook is starting to get filled up with every little thing you can check off. And security, parking, this, that, and the other. It's an insane kind of feat to try and bring up, but we've got, it's an interesting take because we've already got the following, right? You know, a lot of car shows, it's a car club, it's this, that, and the other.
Right.
We've got 50,000 plus active subscribers that would love to come support us and come hang out with us. So it's an interesting take for a YouTuber to bring that locally. And then also, you know, have these big names come from California, from Florida, like some of our vendors and be right here, you know, our hometown where we can show them around and go down Main Street, go to Shoey's Pretzels, go here, you know, like how cool is that?
Shoey's Pretzels, shout out to Shoey's
Pretzels.
Yeah, we get them every other Tuesday. We do. We give them out to clients because it's like a hook, you know, they're like, they might not remember Austin Sells Printing, but they'll be like, oh, you're the pretzel man. Yeah, we'll send you some print work.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Guys, that's awesome. I mean, I'm hoping this goes through. Like, this sounds like it's going to be cool, not just for you, but for, like, Lebanon County.
It's good for the county.
Should be huge. Yeah. I mean, that's a big, big money-making. You got so much out
there,
too.
You got the hotel across the street. Hershey Park. I mean, there's stuff to do. And I think that's the biggest thing when we think about a show is, like, you have to have – you obviously have the show, and then you also have to have the surrounding things. What is there to do in town? Is there an off-road park that's nearby? Like – it just and I think this is a good spot because there is all that. You have the park, you have off-road parks within an hour. Like there's stuff to do.
Here.
Everything's in this area, and there are some other kind of shows in the state, but we've kind of noticed that they've kind of been fading a little bit, and I think this might be the right spot for maybe something in the future.
The same way we brought our flair to YouTube, like to do it to a show.
Yeah.
That's the way we look at it.
Yeah, we take the best things that we like from the shows, and we asked our members what they like, and why not try to run with it, you know, here.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, this would be two guys trying to do that. Can you imagine that?
That's what I mean. Yeah, you guys
are
doing so
and
much.
Doug.
And Doug.
Shout
here.
Out to Doug.
Doug.
Shout out to
Doug.
Wow. Guys, I'm really blown away. The two of you, you're doing so much already, but like you want more. You're hungry, you know?
Always looking.
You kind of have to be.
Yeah.
You kind of have to think 5-10 steps ahead because you just never know what the landscape's going to look like in a year, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Wow. So is this a first? Like, does anybody else know about this? You talk about it on your YouTube that you're trying to bring this show?
We've talked about it on the channel. I mean, the biggest thing for us, which is kind of so cool, is we have the demographic there. We have the active audience that we can engage with. You know, we reply to comments. We talk to guys. But we can get their feedback, too. So, hey, what do you guys want to see? What time of year? We can do a poll, which we get 2,000 votes on the YouTube community tab. So we're kind of dialed into what and who our audience is so we can give them the best experience possible. But, we've been pitching the idea, throwing it around. People even came up to us in Tennessee, like, when's your show next year? So there.
And we mentioned it once.
And it was once on YouTube.
In a 20-second clip. Like, it was just, like, loosely, like, would you guys be interested in this?
And already people are looking to book hotels and stuff, it sounds like.
Wow. Sounds
that's
like
so
it.
Cool.
It's crazy.
It's so cool.
Yeah, that's wild. So for the listeners that don't know, where is, like, the nearest what do you call it? Jeep park, Jeep playground, Jeep.
Okay.
I don't know. Where is it?
So there's two. I mean, the first one's super close. It's Roush Creek off-road park. So it's up 81. It's near Tremont. So if you're north, like North Lebanon, you're like 25, 30 minutes away. Great park there. Excellent facilities. you can go wheel. A lot of people come from Jersey, Virginia, New York, all over the, you know, kind of the tri-state, the five-state tri-area. That's a fantastic park. We go to Anthracite Off-Road Adventure Area, abbreviated AOAA, and that's up a little bit further north, kind of think, what is that, the Minersville 901 exit up there?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Getting off up there. That park is probably even bigger than Roush Creek. We do a lot of our filming up there. We're good friends with the guy that runs it. It's a county run, but still kind of private organization, kind of mixes with both of them. But yeah, I mean, you've got two off-road parks there and you can take side-by-sides, Jeeps, trucks, whatever you want. Go have, spend the day and have a good time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I got to ask you, I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Am I a Jeep guy?
What year?
Yeah, it depends on the year.
Oh.
Well, not right. I shouldn't say that.
It's a 2017. I don't know. I just wondered.
Much love to all the Jeeps.
Yeah. Okay.
Much love to all the Jeeps.
I'm kind of a Jeep guy, but not like the level. I don't get ducked. I've never gotten ducked. You
never gotten ducked?
Well, no, because isn't that more?
We can change that.
Yeah, I think I have like at least 50 in my Jeep right now.
Well, it's parked out front, so just when everyone. But I picture it being the Jeep Wranglers. Like that's the Jeep, but it's really
definitely the ducking community. But yeah.
But anybody that has a Jeep, right? Is it or no?
It's. I mean, I think there's a culture to it. So I think the Jeep side of it is more. You know, someone that is more the off-road, the camping, that kind of side. Like, we've seen Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, even Wagoneers, the older stuff. Like, they'll go out there. Like, that's the Jeep. I think the Jeep crowd is, you know, that off-road, that adventurous lifestyle. But you're not buying, like, you know the history of a Jeep when you buy it, too. Like, even if you're going to buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee, you still know what Jeep kind of represents as a whole, you know? So, I think there's definitely the audience of the big lifted huge tires, and we'll show you our Jeeps when we go outside.
Yeah,
too.
I want to see those. Yeah,
It's that's the crowd that's kind of a little bit more into it, the off-roading crowd. But you see all walks of life doing it, all walks of life, all types of Jeeps.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there you go. What would you say are some life lessons you've learned throughout this journey so far?
I think the biggest challenge for me from going from the 9 to 5 to what we're kind of doing right now, having a more loose schedule, kind of 7 days a week. Is how to manage time and how to manage it in a way that's not like 9 to 5 where you're here from this time to this time. It's how do I balance it with, okay, I might have to edit a video after 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock just to get it out for tomorrow. Or so the biggest thing for me is why I brought my book, Atomic Habits here, is when I read this, it really just kind of gave me an insight on how to develop new habits and how to develop and almost train my brain to, get into a mindset of getting things done. And not procrastinating, because it is very easy to procrastinate when you own your own business and you only have 2 videos to come out in a week. It's finding new habits and ways to put it out in a way that you're keeping yourself busy, but you're also using your time wisely, I guess. So I think for me, it's just been it's managing time, and I think I definitely struggled with it at first because it's definitely a challenge going from someone talking over you to I'm my own boss. Like it almost, you have to kind of conform to the algorithm and when stuff has to go out, that's kind of like your boss, right?
Yeah.
It's the, so that's definitely been the biggest challenge for me.
Yeah. I think, life lessons, obviously the whole thing's a journey, right? You know, taking this leap and we both left the corporate America, the jobs, and we're not bashing anyone that works in corporate America either.
No, too. No,
there's
no.
A ton of fantastic places to work. I've got a lot of buddies and you do too that work for companies that are absolutely incredible. So that's the biggest thing. But I think it's just more believing in yourself. You know, that's the biggest life lesson I've learned from this is like, how long are you going to kind of keep this as an idea or keep it as a dream in your head before you just say kind of screw it, let's try it, you know, let's go live with it. And in the beginning too, I mean, we succeeded pretty well in the beginning because we kind of knew what we were doing. We knew that we had 2 kind of samples that we could test upon, and yeah, we knew what we could do. But for a lot of folks that are just starting, sometimes they feel defeated, you know, the first time they open a coffee shop up, you know, maybe it doesn't get the audience right there in the beginning, and that's just, it's not going to work, man. That's it, let's call it, let's give up. But I think the biggest thing for me is like my worst case scenario was going back to a 9 to 5. So why not give this a go?
Yeah.
And I've heard that a couple times before, but if that's your worst case scenario, like if this fails, if we lose all our money, whatever it is, if it doesn't work out, I'll go find another job. We can both get careers. So I figured I might as well start living what I want instead of fearing that worst case scenario every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's 100%. That's it. So do you each have a mentor in your life? Somebody you'd like to shout out? I mean, we shouted Doug out. And maybe he's your mentor, Matt, I would assume. But, you know, is there a mentor that has really helped you along the way?
I think it's just mentor-wise. I mean, I've always kind of been I've always been kind of a hard worker, just internally, but I definitely get a lot of my support from my mom. She's been a huge support, and my family too. Just always kind of like, just go do it. If you have to sacrifice things to do it, just find a way to be happy. And as far as like teachings and mentor, I got to ring it back to Mr. Schwalm. Shout out to Schwalm, wherever he is. I think he's in South America right now or something. But
yeah,
shout out to him. He was always that extra step in my video career that pushed me a little bit. And yeah, I would definitely say he was one of the people that taught me the most.
I think it's the same. I think it's the family right there. You know, I like I said, we had that big push for college. We had that big push for a stable job. And then, you know, I also got to reflect on what they enjoyed and what they didn't like out of their lives. You know, mom and dad, I saw what they struggled with growing up, you know, working 45 plus hours a week, barely being able to come home. I kind of saw that as their work ethic was, you know, they had an excellent work ethic. So I learned that from them. But then I also saw the evils of it too. So they were the best role models in both ways, you know, showing what you should do and how to be a good person, but then also maybe what you want to avoid or don't end up like this. My dad would be like, don't do this, you know, don't piss it away. You got to take it while you can. You know, if the opportunity is there, run with it because it's not going to be there a second time. So yeah, mom, dad, family. That's the biggest.
For sure.
We're very, very big family people. So,
there you go. Yeah, that's perfect.
We run it like a family for sure.
It is.
Matt and I are like brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I can kind of tell. Yeah, you guys are definitely close for sure. So the items you brought with you, we covered the duck, the Jeep duck, and the book, Atomic Habits. But you got a baseball, and then you have the picture frame, the photo. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the photo for me, like I said, this was, I mean, it's kind of like tenfold in this photo here. So that's my firstborn son. He was a few months old.
What's his name?
Walker. So that's my oldest. I have two boys, Walker and Cooper. That's my oldest, and that was the day I brought that Jeep home. So I had probably owned about 20 Wranglers at this point. I factory ordered this one, and the reason this photo is so special is because when I factory ordered this, I pulled Ryan aside and like I said, when this Jeep comes in, we're starting our channel. So I kind of like said, when this comes in, it's yellow, right? Our logos have some yellow. And I said, when this comes in, we're starting our channel. So when it rolled off the truck, when it showed up finally at the dealership, you know, I was like, we're ready to go, you know? So that was the first day bringing it home. And I think it just signifies a lot because, you know, I'm there with my son. I'm trying to give him a legacy too, right? Dad's on camera. It's a weird job for him as well. But I mean, this has everything. This is the family. This is the starting the channel. My wife's going to kick my butt because there's another one with her in it too, but I didn't have it framed. So, but yeah, that's what started it all right there. And that's kind of everything in one picture right there when it started.
What's your wife's name?
Abby.
Shout out to Abby.
Always supportive. She's always commenting on stuff. Always, you know, she's always there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Now, a baseball. Why the baseball?
That's his.
Well, let me start with the duck. This was the the first duck I ever received. And this was one I got when we went to a Jeep show in Detroit a couple of years ago. And the show is very special to Matt and I, in good and bad, because we went to the show. We both kind of called off work to go do the show. And we came back from the show to get that ultimatum news. So this was kind of like that stepping stone for us to like take the leap of faith. So this duck has been special. I keep it. I just don't even keep it in my Jeep. I keep it in my closet. It's always there. It's gonna always be.
It's just not a regular duck. That's like
this is the special duck.
Right? It is
right. Yeah. Wow. The baseball though. Funny story. I got this at Penn State this past weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I got this at Penn State.
This, so I'm gonna hear this story.
I went to Penn State this past weekend. Shout out to the Trogues crew that came with. But we found this baseball and we just kind of started throwing it around. And I'm a big sports guy. Philly sports. Go Birds. Go Phils. Go Flyers. Go Sixers. Yeah. I'm all Philly sports. But baseball to me has always been kind of a casual enjoyment, and that's how I really look at our business. I really look at it as an enjoyment, and it's a job too. But I couldn't be more grateful and thankful for what we have and where we're at this point. We both knew that it was possible, and I think that's the we really had to believe in ourselves. But yeah, the baseball. Other than I got it at Penn State and had a good time with it, baseball's just been a huge part of my life. So is football and all that stuff, and it's always been an enjoyment thing, and I'm glad I can enjoy everything that we're doing together in a company and a business as well outside of the leisurely stuff like sports.
Yeah. So. If any listeners want to support you, follow your journey, you know, purchase product for their Jeep, how can they, and swag too. Let's not forget the swag.
Always the swag.
How can they do that? Where's the best place to find you?
So obviously YouTube, that's the biggest one. If you want to support us, the one that's free is just hitting that subscribe button, maybe watching us, because now you know that we're local too. So you might see us pass around town, which we've got a lot of local people that, you know, see us around town, shoot us a message on Instagram. They follow us. But dirtroadcredmedia.com as well. That's where you can kind of see a little bit more of as far as like what we, the swag, the merch, the stuff like that. Jeep parts, but obviously the YouTube's the biggest thing because we don't want to make somebody spend money. But if they want to, they can. If not, go on YouTube and check us out.
And check us out, right.
Yeah, before we close out, anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
We appreciate you having us today. This has been a different experience for us, for me to behind you to behind a microphone too. But
yeah, I honestly wanted to learn how you kind of did all it all. So when we start our podcast, but this has been a really cool experience. Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, really, really cool. I'm glad we could share it because we really haven't talked about anything outside of... We had a couple videos where we were going to talk about ourselves at the very beginning, but we knew we kind of just had to get right in just making Jeep content. So I think we'll hold some of those videos for the future, but for any DRC listeners out there that we're probably going to be sharing on the community tab, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you following. And give Austin here some love because we're very thankful for having him bring us in today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Yeah. You know, thank you for your time. Both of you coming in. Obviously, you're busy, got family, you know, so it means a lot. And anything I can do to help, you know, if you're serious about launching a podcast, because guests have come in out of, you guys are episode 98, have come in and said, we're thinking about starting it. We're going to do it. Well, do it, you know, because people say it, but they don't do it. So I hope you guys do. And seriously, whatever you want to know, I'm an open book because I look at it as if you guys start a podcast, everybody has different thoughts, different ideas, and it grows. It just grows a community, right?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, I'm sending guests your way, you're sending guests my way, whatever it is, you know, and it just grows from there. So I'm a big supporter of it. I'm not one of those guys like, oh, I got all the secrets or all the keys. I'm not going to let you know because it's like, you know, it's pretty straightforward, but I'm down to help anybody.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head with that one. Ryan and I are the exact same.
And if
type
you have any
people.
Video questions or YouTube questions, seriously.
We're here.
Pick our brains. Here. Yeah. We'll give you all the insight. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I might be doing that in the future.
Seriously.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Yeah. I'm going to close it out.
Let's do
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Let's do
cool.
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan Hewitt and Matt Mole, owners of Dirt Road Cred Media on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you both for joining me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.